Walker. Saka does get it across, and it's headed in by Bellingham. England's opener, England's golden boy. Just watch where he comes from. His run is fantastic, the timing of it. But the run also from Saka. Bellingham times his run to perfection. What a header.
And welcome to the Down the Football podcast, Euro 2024. It's been pretty good so far, isn't it? Yeah,
it's been wonderful. Yeah, there's been some great games, tight in some games, all over the place in terms of the opening game. But I think we've yet to see anybody really, you know, kind of throw down the gauntlet. But it's been very entertaining so far, anyway.
Yeah, Terry, the goals have been raining in, haven't they? There's been some enjoyment in almost every game, except of course the England one. That was a bit of a stinker, wasn't it?
Are we ready to talk about that now, or should we sort of like hold over just for a few more minutes? Is that
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll give the listeners a shit sandwich and start off with something nice, and then we'll squeeze the England game in the middle somewhere. Yes.
My personal highlights, obviously Germany, Scotland. That was very gratifying because I follow German football and I hate Scotland. So
we win.
That was a big win in the De Fellaini household. It's got to be said. Very much enjoyed that, and I told you Switzerland were good.
You did.
I told you Switzerland were good, but let's not talk about the other teams that I said would be good and weren't. Okay, let's just like not talk about that. But I'm very pleased with the tournament. I'm very impressed. I'm going to give it a pat on the head and say, well done. Keep going.
Well, despite what Terry says, we will be talking about the teams that he said would be good, because that's what we're here for. We're here to be talking about all of the games that have been happening so far. Because at the moment, we're at half-time in the... Well, it's probably not half-time because Terry turned up late. We are at half-time in the Portugal-Czech Republic game. So we're at the stage where we've seen every team play. May not have seen them live. They may have actually caught up with them in the highlights. But I think I've seen a bit of every game so far. So I'm in quite a good place. And I think we can all get a good flavour of how things are going. Of course, you can only really tell how good someone is once they've played twice, can't you really? At least, because you could have a game like, I don't know, Poland-Netherlands, where Poland looked pretty good and probably felt a bit hard done by not to get a point. But then again, you don't know if Netherlands were just a bit pony. So we'll go on what we've seen so far and what we think, if we've reassessed any of our wonderful opinions that we had last week. So, well, let's go right back to the start of it. Let's go to Group A. We thought that Germany were going to beat Scotland in that game. Germany were better than I think a lot of people thought they would be coming into this. And they were fantastic, Terry. I must say, I thought Musiala was an absolute joy to watch. Were you surprised by the performance they put in against Scotland?
I did expect them to come out of the block strongly. I didn't expect them to have a nervous start. I didn't expect, actually, that's just not, but I kind of didn't expect Scotland to be so accommodating, I think. I think it's a lot of this result is down to Scotland, who really did shit the bed, as they say, with this. So that was a contributing factor. Musiala was brilliant, but he was given license to be brilliant, one by his coach and two by the Scottish midfield, who just didn't seem to be able to figure out where he was. So, yeah, really pleasing. And in a way, it's good because I think it releases the German public of any anxieties that they might have about the team. But on the other hand, because it was such an easy victory, we won't really know more until they play, you know, the rest of their group, really, until we know a little bit about how far they can go. But a tremendous start. And we all like to see the hosts do well, don't we?
Yes, and even Nicholas Fulkrug scored a goal. E-I-E-I-O.
I know, and I was a dissing Nicholas Fulkrug. I love Nicholas Fulkrug, but I was dissing him. And I, then when I saw that going, I thought, yeah, I feel like a bit of a plum there. I don't know, really. And there's now a little Twitter narrative of number nines popping up and getting things done. Isn't that kind of a funny little throwback sort of thing? See also about Veghorst.
Yeah, who we'll come on to soon enough. Jan, Scotland managed to register a goal, even though they had absolute zero XG. Absolute zero XG. And for once, XG was very, very, very helpful in describing what sort of game they had, wasn't it?
As Terry said, Scotland were very, and I like the term accommodating. I'm going to steal that one. In fact, I just have. But yeah, it's like Scotland didn't even come out and try. I don't know whether there was a bit of stage fright there or whatever. I don't know. But certainly, what an opener that was. Germany at home in the opening game of the Euros, and Scotland and all the fun and joy that they bring to the fans, that is, bring to the occasion. But it's just a shame that the team couldn't give them a reward for the fact that I think, was it 4% of the Scottish population were in Munich, which is incredible. But it was a brilliant display, whatever we say about Scotland. Certainly Germany looked brilliant. And Musiala's goal, I think, typified that. Havertz outpacing the Scottish defence and Musiala doing a bit of trickery to get that one in, which is brilliant. So, yeah, well-deserved from Germany. But as Terry said, they've got to play Switzerland, who, Terry said correctly, were very good, I thought, against Hungary. So let's see how they get on then.
We'll go to that next, I think, Terry, because, yes, you did say Switzerland would be good, and Switzerland were good. At times, though, Hungary did look like they got back into that game. They were 2-0 down at the break, but they got a goal back and would probably count themselves unlucky not to get away with a point. What was your take on that game? Were you completely full of vindication for saying, watch Switzerland, they'll be good?
No, I felt a bit bad for Hungary. I don't think it was one of these. I was thinking of driving home from work just now, and I was thinking, 2-0 is like the dangerous scoreline, isn't it?
Yes.
But what about 3-1? Why isn't 3-1 a dangerous scoreline? And then I thought about this game. I thought it was because 3-1 usually is the scoreline that is the one that happens late on. 3-1, the third goal is scored quite late and then sets everyone's minds at rest. And this was a perfect example. 2-0, the dangerous scoreline. Hungary much, but right back in this game in the second half. And then indeed got back in the game, got their goal back. But it's okay, guys. Brillembolo comes on and sets everyone's minds at rest and stuff like that. It's a classic case of the 2-0 being the dangerous scoreline. But then, you know, like pulling through and like everyone breathes a sigh of relief. It's like, yay, 3-1. I love football. It's brilliant, isn't it? These stupid little narratives they've got going on. But I was unkind about Hungary as well, wasn't I? And I think that I was wrong to be unkind about Hungary. I thought that they played well. But I don't know if they're going to be able to. But I'm sure they'll finish third. You know, of course, that might not be enough. What we do know, I think, what's emerging is that it's a strong Euros. Some good footballers, good teams.
Well, yeah, last time there was a big tournament in Germany, the World Cup in 2006, Switzerland won their group, finished higher than France in their group. So Switzerland could be a team to watch here. And Bolo's third goal, the icing on the cake, I don't know if you saw it, but his leg strapping came off as he was kicking the ball. It reminded me of the bit in Forrest Gump when his leg braces fall off. It was.
It's actually in my notes. Yeah, exactly. It was exactly like that. It was great to see. I think moment of the tournament so far, definitely. It broke like the braces from Forrest Gump. Yes, it was amazing, and he took it really well. But that just added to the drama of it. He was unshackled and guaranteed it for Switzerland.
Yeah,
terrific story though, isn't it?
Like, it is.
To be injured for so long and then to just come off the bench, and that's fantastic.
So that set it up. Two games in, and we had 10 goals, and we thought, yeah, okay, this tournament has arrived. Who needs little cars bringing the ball out? This tournament has got it going on. And that was immediately followed by Group B. Now, Group B was like probably the most anticipated group, I think, in the tournament, and it didn't disappoint again. Well, it didn't disappoint, but maybe Croatia did, because the 3-0 against Spain. We did think Croatia might be a bit creaky. Creaky Croatia, I think, was our sort of vibe about them last week. But Spain look good, don't they, Jan? Spain look really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe you were a little bit unkind on Croatia there. They did create quite a lot of chances, but the finishing was terrible. Morata's goal for the first one, where Ruiz kind of split the defence, looked great, and it was. It was a great ball through and a great finish, but the Croatian centre-backs were so far apart, Morata could have got on a bus and taken that bus to the ball. There was that much space, so it did look spectacular. It did look very good, and he took it well, but I think there was a lot of space they gave there. But yeah, on the whole, I thought Spain were excellent, and they stood up to, I thought, some good attacking from Croatia. But Croatia need a number nine, which is the theme coming through this, isn't it, Terry? They definitely need number nine, because they were just not finishing it. Even when they got a penalty, they couldn't finish that.
Is that a small bus or a...
I'm thinking a big old kind of Routemaster.
A Routemaster,
yeah. Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. And I bet he would have gone upstairs as well. Wouldn't even have been at the back, like ready to hop off at the back at a moment's notice and score. No, he was upstairs reading the paper, doing the Sudoku.
Yeah, he had that much space.
See, a lesser class striker would have been hanging off the back of that Routemaster waiting to jump off. But no.
It was great to see Lamine Yamal, who I thought had a great game. He's about 2 months older than my son, which was fine for me, but watching it with my son, I don't think he was enjoying the fact that he's got one of his contemporaries are playing in the Euros. But his cross for Carvajal's goal, I thought when he put that in, that's rubbish. It's going straight to the keeper, which is what the Croatia defenders thought at the time. And obviously Carvajal nipped in. So it just shows what I know, because it was absolutely wonderful, that cross. He knew what he was doing and I didn't. So well done, young man.
Goal machine Carvajal, isn't it now, Terry, isn't he? He's always there when you need him, isn't he?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, of course, yeah. Carvajal's a wonderful player. I remember when Carvajal was on loan at Bayer Leverkusen years and years ago, when he was a slip of a boy. And he's always been an impressive player, but he's really matured into a proper senior pro. That was very, very pleasing. And Lamine Yamal, what a player, what a talent. To be honest, it's the first time I've really had a good look at him. I heard about him because I follow the Spanish game without really watching much Spanish football. It's difficult to say with Spain because they impressed in 22 and then they didn't. They can blow hot and cold, but they just felt right. And I know that Croatia did miss some chances, but they're still Croatia. They're still really good. And that is, by any definition, a statement result.
Certainly. Well, Croatia have it all to do now. They've got to play Albania next. So that's potentially a must win. But Albania don't look that shabby, Terry. They scored in the first minute against Italy, and that set that game up pretty well, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that was a shocking piece of defensive work. Was it DeMarco, the fullback, wasn't it, with the frankly terrible throw-in? Just a momentary lapse. I mean, you and I, Graham, were recording another podcast on a different topic for the second half of that game. But in the corner of my eye, it did look very much like Italy were almost literally sitting on the ball for the second half of that game, which in itself, I suppose, is a compliment to Albania, who in the first half were lively and were dangerous. And OK, they conceded two goals, but nobody was suggesting that Albania are going to go and win the Euros. But they're not the kind of team you want to play when you're looking for something, I would suggest.
No, certainly. Jan, what do you think about Albania-Croatia? What's that going to tell us, that game? Is that going to tell us who's going to finish third in this group, basically?
Probably, yeah. I mean, that will be a game to watch, definitely. I think that if Albania show how kind of up for it they are, then given some of the defensive frailties that I talked about with Croatia, they should be good for a goal or two. But if Croatia can start to convert some of the chances they've created, then that could be a right banging game.
Yeah, and of course...
Can I just interject very quickly? I don't know when you want to move on from the Italy-Albania, but on the sidelines, I was shocked at Spalletti's, and indeed the whole coaching staff's, suit gown. Absolutely atrocious. The modern approach to suit wearing, where everything's like accentuating the body and like ill-fitting and like stretched and like collar gaps, for an Italian to wear such suits was a crime. And I sincerely hope they get knocked out of the group stage just for that. Meanwhile, the Albania coach, Silvino, immaculately turned out. Proper fitted, tailored suit. I just wanted to point that out, by the way. Sorry. You can cut that out if you want to.
I thought that was a brilliant insight, actually. I hadn't considered making notes.
And they had Italia written on the back of those jackets.
Of their suit blazer.
Yeah. It's a disgrace for an Italian to wear such a thing. I mean,
it's like a war crime.
I'm outraged.
Well, you can temper your outrage now, Terry, because now we're going to talk about England. I told you it would be a shit sandwich, so here we go. Serbia, England, worst game of the tournament so far?
In terms of my enjoyment, yeah. Definitely, I didn't enjoy that game. I enjoyed the first 15 minutes. I think Bellingham scored around the quarter of an hour mark, didn't he? England looked good going down the right-hand side. Saka's great. He got that crossover, even though it did take a deflection on the way over. But Bellingham's goal was a beautiful balance of power and timing. I defy anybody who says he bundled that in. It was clean and beautiful and clinical, and it looked incredible. Kane did get one off the bar eventually when he eventually touched the ball. Serbia could have got the draw at the end if it wasn't for Pickford, so it just wasn't very inspiring, I think. If you look at it from the results point of view and you kind of go, well, they got the job done. But I really wasn't expecting England just to get one goal and decide that was it. I couldn't really tell if that was the case or just Serbia turned it on. You know, Serbia did start to look good as the game progressed, but it was a really unconvincing win for England. But, you know, I suppose you can argue a win's a win, but I didn't leave that one feeling elated at all.
A win is a win, Terry. We got a better result than Denmark did. So it's all right in the end, isn't it? A slow start. Some of the best teams have slow starts to tournaments. So you just got to say 3 points, isn't you? Maybe rejig the midfield for the next game against Denmark, but not too much to worry about, was there?
I'm not worried, no. The trouble when you're watching England, and I'm sure this is the case with a lot of our national teams, but I think it's particularly predominant with England, is that we're easily spooked. So the moment things start to go slightly wrong, we panic and we think, this is shit. These people are awful. Drop him, sack him and all of that. And we get massively carried away. You know, and then that's why we don't enjoy the games. In the past, England have played like this, where they've played really well to begin with, and then they've lost ground and, you know, the opposition have turned it around. But then we've gone on and either lost the game or we've lost points. And that's been a real sickener. But this England iteration tend not to do that. I was a little bit worried about Serbia equalising because they've got some extremely powerful forwards. And they are a bit like England in that respect, in that, you know, their biggest strength is their forward line rather than their back line. And so that's how they played. But I think they got a little bit overwhelmed by the occasion in the first 20, 30 minutes and then slowly got themselves back into the game. I felt that Saka's power waned. I think that defensively, Serbia, they were a lot tighter to Saka in the second half, which I think was how his power waned. I think Foden was a disappointment. I'd like to think that that's something that could be sorted out next time. But I just think that it is disappointing to see the team do so well, control the game, and then almost suddenly be like on the back foot for the best part of that match. That, I think, is probably what spooked me. But thinking back on it now, I feel a little bit happier about that game. Maybe you guys will talk about Bellingham, but obviously that's a big plus point. But even then, typical England fan, like, oh, great, we've got, like, our best player since Gazza. We're our best player possibly ever. And all I can think about is, well, what if he gets injured? Or are we becoming too reliant on him? And we can't just, like, enjoy the moment, really.
I think the measure of this England team will be against a team that we have to defend against as well. The only reason we had to defend against Serbia was because we sat back so much. And I think that was just the wrong thing to do for a team that we spoke about last week and said that they've got strong forwards and they haven't really got much at the back. And it seemed that we were playing into their hands for the second half. That said, I don't think we were really under that much threat at all in that game. So I was quite pleased as far as that was concerned. Very briefly on Slovenia, Denmark. Denmark should have won that game, do you think? Or are we saying that Slovenia are going to have a say in this group?
The draw was a fair result. You could argue that Denmark edged it. They looked certainly better earlier on. It was great to see Eriksen get a goal as well after obviously what's happened to him in previous tournaments. And it was a brilliant goal, just chesting that down and snapping that ball in. It was great. Their equaliser, it looked spectacular until you saw it was deflected, but it still looked pretty cool. I thought a draw was a fair result in the end. I don't think either team can complain about that.
I felt Denmark probably could have shaded that and got a 2-1 from that game, I've got to say. But I'm not begrudging Slovenia their point. They certainly earned it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we play Slovenia last in the group, and I'll be there in Cologne to watch that. So hopefully by the time England get to play them, they'll have already beaten Denmark, and we'll be already through to the next stage, because that's the way I like to watch England. I don't like to watch England with any jeopardy whatsoever. So please, Mr. Southgate, can you make sure that you beat Denmark this week? All right, Group D. Group D was another one that we were going to be intrigued to watch, because there was Austria, who, Terry, you were very interested to see how they would get on. Poland, who we thought would turn up and underperform like they so often do. And then Netherlands and France. And France, we knew that they were going to be strong. And they were strong, but not that strong, were they, Terry?
France, no, I would say not. I mean, impressive to watch. And when in full flow, in full attack, like, scary. But Austria have got cause to be a little bit disappointed. I think if they'd had a little bit more luck, a little bit more luck with the referees, now not to any large degree, then I think that they might have got in there. And of course, I know it's a little bit of a cliche, N'Golo Kanté, he seems to be having some kind of renaissance, even though I don't think he's ever gone anywhere. He's only 32. He's a really, really good player. He's always has been. And he was doing a lot of cleaning up, particularly when with Austria in transition as well. So it would have been nice if Austria had been a little bit more clinical and to have got a goal and really challenged France out of there. I'm not certain France would have scored a second goal in that game. I was disappointed in a way that Austria couldn't get something out of that game. But I am still of the view that they were just beaten by the better team. I think everyone around this table feels that France are probably the genuine favourites to win the Euros. And rightly so.
Yeah, certainly. And France, as well, have a strong bench as well. So even when Mbappe had to go off with a broken face, which is going to be the story of the tournament when he returns in his iron mask. It's all going to be fantastic.
Very good.
When he comes back.
Very good.
That is great.
But they are just going to keep on winning. And that's what Austria didn't have. They didn't have anything off the bench. Who do they have? They had Arnautovic coming off the bench now. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that was never going to go well, was it? So Austria are a team that will play well here, I think. And they will have more reward than they got out of their game against France. They play Poland next. I think they'll win that. Do you think so, Jan? Because I think Poland were unlucky against the Netherlands, weren't they? But when you got the power of Weghorst coming off the bench, then what can you do, eh?
Yeah, Poland were pretty good in that one. The Netherlands, though, were just another team just wasting opportunities. Mm. I mean, they spent a lot of the time shooting from distance. And when they did get closer in, the ball seemed to still be flying over and going wide. They eventually brought on a proper number nine who went, oh, all right, yeah, I'll just put it in the goal, shall I? That's how you do it. That was a great number nine's finish. I thought he was really good. And he'd only been on the pitch for 2 minutes as well. So, yeah, Netherlands are playing France next, aren't they? That's the next fixture for each of them. I think that should be a good one. I'm not sure if we're going to see Mbappe in that one. I'm not even sure if we'll see him in the rest of the tournament. I don't know. I mean, it depends how badly he's broken his nose, but it didn't look very good, did it? He was bleeding a lot, and a broken nose is not fun. Having broken my nose, I can tell you, it's awful. But then again, I'm not one of the greatest athletes who ever lived, so maybe I can't compare myself to him. But hopefully we'll see him back, because I think it'll be good for the tournament. But I think France have got enough to get through. But I'm looking forward to that fixture with the Netherlands. I think that has the potential to be a cracker.
Yeah, I think he'll come back with a couple of shiners. I think that looks proper broken, wasn't it? He will probably be playing in a mask for the rest of the tournament, but it would be a shame if he doesn't take any more part in the tournament. But as I said, they do have a hell of a lot of talent in that team. The biggest ties, I think, in this group stage are in this second round. We've got Spain, Italy, we've got Netherlands, France. We're going to see the real tournament start opening up, I think, over the next few days. Let's go into Group E, where I think the only real upset has happened so far, with Belgium losing to Slovakia, losing to an early goal. Romelu Lukaku had the ball in the net twice, only for both goals to be chalked off by VAR. One for offside, which is quite clear offside, should probably have been called on the pitch, and one for a very, very, very slight handball in the build-up. Were Belgium unlucky, or are there cracks there? Are they failing to hit the heights of when they were under Martinez, Terry?
The great Roberto Martinez, the best manager in the world. How are Portugal doing, by the way?
One all at the moment.
Is it one all? One all. Okay. I think you just give this to Slovakia and say, hurrah for them. Great result. Brilliant performance. And a massive off day for Belgium. I think the VAR has let the side down on this one. The VAR, I think, doesn't have to call that one.
No.
I think the moment the VAR says to the ref, I think there's been a handball, you should never look at it. Then that's it. There's no choice. But I think if the ref, VAR looks at that, goes, there's nothing in that, I'm not going anywhere near that. Which the VAR is entitled to do. You know, he's not a machine. He's a human being. You can look at that and say, right, there's a bit of a shove there. That is purely accidental. I'm not going to do anything with that. I'm just going to forget about that. And I reckon that no one would have noticed it. So I feel that the VAR has let the side down there.
Mm.
Don't you, Jan? You agree with me completely, don't you?
Well, I would, but even more technology intervened, didn't it? Because there's a chip in the ball, and it was there was a little graphic with a, like in cricket.
Little snicko, yeah.
Yeah, that was in there. Terry losing his mind now because of the more technology ring football. But yeah, so I thought that's what made that particular incident really interesting. So the ball only slightly touched Openda's hand. And yeah, no one else spotted it apart from the technology. See, we've got it. Why don't we use it? And we did. And it ruined a perfectly good game. And they even had the curtain of doom as well for Lukaku's first one, which was justified, to be fair. Yeah. But yeah, it's like VAR was just like, well, I haven't really been busy this tournament, so I'm just going to come in and completely fuck this game up for everyone.
Right. I really hate Romelu Lukaku. That's what he really said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We obviously knew it was going to be chalked off because ITV's new AI bot, Christine Uncle, came on and said so as well. I was really freaked out the other day because they actually cut to her and she's an actual person. I thought she was like Siri or something. It was like they were actually asking someone and this wonderful, strange, American-y sort of world accent came through. And I thought, have they asked AI now why VAR is going to come up with the decision it's going to come up with? But no, it's an actual person. I thought Peter Walton had been replaced by a machine.
I'm going to be honest here and say that she certainly is an upgrade on Peter Walton. I think you're being a little bit unkind. But yeah, I know where you're coming from. She needs to develop her broadcasting voice.
Yeah, sure. Well, she does that. But also as well, she needs to stop agreeing with everything the referees do.
Well, you're fat jars of that. Mate.
Yeah, I know. Why is the point of them being there? All they're going to do is like, yeah.
You're right. As we say, we need fewer referees, not more referees. And that includes the referees should be anonymous figures that just, you know, disappear off into the night once they've retired.
Yes, yes, indeed.
They're not allowed to have media careers. They shouldn't be allowed to have media careers after they finish.
No. We wanted Ukraine to do well at this tournament. But they went ahead and lost 3-0 to Romania. To some stonking goals from Romania. It was a lovely open game. But that was only because Ukraine seemed to like just be playing by vibes. So hopefully we may see a better performance out of them next time when they play Slovakia next. But Romania really, well, they were given chances and they took them really well to win the game 3-0 and give them every opportunity to progress in the tournament. But bad news for Ukraine, yeah?
Yes, it was a real shame. You're right. From a personal point of view, and I think anybody with any kind of morals, you'd want Ukraine to do quite well to stick it to Russia. But Romania deserved it. Absolutely spectacular goals. Ukraine had a couple of chances, so that could have maybe been a 3-2, but I think that would have been unfair on Romania, who definitely deserved their win.
Yeah, yeah. Which brings us on to today now, because we're getting up to Group F and all the action that's happened today. Now, full disclosure, I didn't see all of the Turkey-Georgia game. I got to see most of the second half, but most of the first half I saw intermittently on my phone on the train home from London. But I managed to see a few goals in between my signal cutting out. Thank you very much, O2. But yeah, I saw the first goal go in, then it all went a bit muddy. And then I saw the second goal go in almost immediately, and then it all cut out. And then by the time I got back on, it was 1-1. So stuff had happened in between time. So, but yeah, I got the full story about what happened there. But Turkey look good, don't they, Terry? That's 60,000 at the Westfalen, most of them all Turkish, absolutely stomping. And a great win for them, great start for Turkey. They have turned up against a plucky Georgia side who were perhaps unfortunate not to get something out of the game there.
Well, again, full disclosure, Graham, sadly, I missed the entirety of this game. I've not even had the chance to see that. I have been working and I haven't had a chance to catch up with the game. So, but I understand from Twitter that it was an absolute barnstormer. It was a not good, perhaps old-fashioned back-and-forth game of football, even down to the keeper running up to the end and all that stuff. So, yeah, but I think that it should be said that there was crowd trouble reported both before and during this match. So, but with all of that said, yeah, the Turkish fans turning up at the Westfalen and making it theirs, Turkey have arrived and Euro 24 will be all the better for it.
Yes. And Jan, right now it is Portugal, Czech Republic, and it is still 1-1 with about 7 minutes left to play. Is that going to be a surprise, considering how strong that Portugal side was when it set up against a pretty ordinary-looking Czech Republic side?
Yeah, very much so, and especially given that they went into the game knowing that Turkey had set the standard. I thought they'd be a bit more on the front foot than they have been. I mean, there's still time to go, and when you've got talent like that in your side, you can't rule out the chance that they're going to bring something back. But I've just watched a ball go sailing out for a goal kick. As I said, that's a kiss of death. But yeah, very much a surprise result if it stays that way.
Portugal will be fine. You know, Graham, they've got a great coach. They'll be fine.
I do have to go back to the Turkey-Georgia game because it was officiated by an Argentinian, by Facundo Tello, which is now my new nickname for Terry.
I think that sits nicely with him. And, there's also a bit of a merch idea there as well. There's some t-shirts that could get sold with that on.
Just getting used to Zaffalon, and now it's Facundo Tello.
Zaffalon was good.
That's your Argentinian name, that is.
Yeah, I mean, what's your Argentinian name? Anybody says, what's your Argentinian name? I say, it's Facundo Tello.
You'd be surprised how often that comes up in conversation, you know.
I was asked 3 times today, so I'm like...
I should get a t-shirt saying, ask me my Argentine name. Yeah, all right. I'm all on board with that.
Good. Well, I'll tell you what I'm on board with. I'm on board with watching the last 5 minutes of this game. So maybe we should just wrap up and get back in front of our tellies. So, well, that's the first week. We won't be back here next week because I am going off to Germany. So I won't be doing any editing or anything like that. I will be returning immediately after the second round. So, well, that's when we'll be recording our next podcast. So just before the quarterfinals. So much is going to happen between now and then. I mean, basically, you know, we're going to have 16 teams eliminated by the time we record our next podcast. But stay in touch with us on Twitter. We'll be doing little snidey little remarks throughout games over the next week or so anyway. Even when I'm on holiday, I'll be throwing out barbs at people who really don't deserve it anyway. But that is enough for me for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye.
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 We are at Sound of Football on X, Blue Sky and Instagram, so feel free to get in touch there or head to our website, sofpodcast.com. Don't forget to rate and review us. Right, let's go and watch some football.
Very good. See you later, guys. Enjoy Germany.
Thanks a lot for that. Bye.